Welcome to the Eat It Talk Simple Podcast. I'm your host, Ernest E.J. Christian. Today, quick little mini pod here. We're going to talk everything about Odell Beckham Jr. versus New York Giants. Of course, we're joined here by G.W. Gross. Follow on Twitter, of course, at G-W-E-S-C-W-E-L-I-O. G, what's up?
What's going on, man? We get to talk about my least favorite team in the NFL. I love it.
It's funny. Most of this offseason so far, that's all you've done is talk about the Giants, because they really are the biggest highlight team. I guess them, maybe the Browns, too, because what they have going on for the draft. But other than that, the Giants have been the biggest spark plug in this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and me discussed it last time. I think the draft kind of follows, it will follow suits whatever the Giants do with that two pick. I think the whole draft is predicated on what the Giants want to do with that two pick. And also, I live in New York, so there's a lot to hear about because no one wants to talk about the Jets. So we got the Giants news for me.
That's true. But let's be real. Are the Jets really interesting, though? Come on.
I actually find the Jets interesting because it's such a dumpster fire. And, I mean, and like, someone actually asked me 2 days ago, because the Bears, I think, have to play the Jets and the Giants this year.
Yeah.
And I was like, to be quite honest, it's not even me hating. I think the Jets are a tougher team to play right now than the Giants. Oh. You know, I just think, you know, and you watch how Josh McCown played last year. This all depends if Robbie Anderson goes to jail.
Oh, I agree with you there. I agree with you on there, 100%. And I'm a Giants fan, and I agree with you there. Absolutely.
Yeah. It just doesn't seem right to say that. That's what it is.
No, because it isn't right, number one. Number two, and I said this, I think, about 2 months ago. Like, the Giants are the more, the Jets, rather, are the more stable team right now than the Giants are.
Yeah, you know. It was a lot of bad signings and just bad contracts, I think, with the Giants. They kind of, like, you know, I think the Giants were trying to capitalize, or not capitalize. The Giants were trying to, like, win quick. And every move they were making just wasn't doing it for them.
Right. Okay, now, you wrote a piece on NJCSports.com, as well as DSteel.com. Check it out. On Odell Beckham, on why the Giants should go ahead and just trade him. Because, as you know, there's been so much speculating the last couple of days alone about the Giants and where they stand with Odell Beckham, and then the possibility of them trading him to many teams, like the Rams and the Browns were mentioned already. And then John Mara comes out and says that's not going to happen. He's on the block, but no one's untouchable, all that. Let me start here first. Explain your position. And look, by the way, you said this before on the radio show way back when we hosted a radio show together. You said this on the podcast numerous times. I want to say it again to the listeners here. Explain your position on why it's stupid to overpay for a player, let alone a receiver.
But first of all, if you're a team like the Giants, like that has holes, a team that won 3 games last year, the position of wide receiver makes no sense to go all out and pay him. The reason being, I've always said this, if you're a team like the Falcons, a team like the Steelers, where you're like, you know what, we're pretty much playoff bound every year, and we have this money, let's throw it at our best player, that makes sense. The Giants have so many holes on this team. They have an aging quarterback, and they have an opportunity to pretty much reboot right now. You know, it just makes no sense to give $17 or $18 million to a position player that touches the ball on a good day 7 or 8 times a game.
That makes a lot of sense. And by the way, I look. You even go as far as saying even quarterbacks are should be that in that conversation. I think quarterbacks is the only position you I can justify overpaying on based on market value and based on the talent. So,
yeah, I agree, the thing is with the quarterback, it turns into more of like they more like represent the team. The quarterback almost becomes the brand. So, I mean, I kind of understand it. Like, the quarterback becomes the face of your franchise, becomes the brand. You know, he's the guy that you're putting on billboards or whatever. I mean, in my eyes, I think pass rushers and offensive linemen should get paid the most because that's the most important thing, but I'm old school.
Right. No. I feel you. I think one of the things about quarterbacks, the reason why I actually am okay with opening quarterbacks, is that if, first off, like, guys like Tom Brady, guys like Aaron Rodgers, you know, guys like that, of that ilk, you know, no matter how bad your defense is, that guy alone is worth 8 to 10 wins a year. So right off the bat, with a top-tier quarterback, you're automatically in the playoff picture anyway, okay? And then depending on how much weapons you have around you will determine if you can actually, add more wins to that total or more playoff wins to that total. And plus, also, if a team's in the position to win, the quarterback will probably most likely restructure. Deal that gives
exactly.
You leverage to do that.
Yeah,
so exactly. that's why I could justify overpaying a quarterback going forward. Now,
see, but then again, it's only about 3 or 4 quarterbacks you could say that for.
Well, right, it's a small market. I mean, it's literally Brady, Rodgers. I still say Breeze is in that conversation. who'll be the fourth?
And honestly, I would probably throw Cam Newton in there because what is that offense?
I was going to say that too a little bit.
It's just that he's just the most immature human being in the world. What is that team offensively without Cam Newton?
You're going to hate this, but I would actually put Russell Wilson in the conversation. Basically, what he did last year and how valuable was that team and how bad they were. And without him, they're probably a 3-win team last year.
Next question.
Why do you do that, dude? God, you hate that guy. Okay, whatever. Well, let me ask you this. Like, with everything we've seen in the media, which I'm on, and what we're hearing in the media, do you believe that despite the words of the ownership and despite the words of Dave Gettleman, the general manager of the New York Giants, do you believe the New York Giants are actually shopping OBJ around?
Let me say, if they were smart, they definitely would be. First of all, this is a GM who doesn't have an emotional tie to Odell Beckham. He's not the guy who drafted him. He doesn't have that tie of proving to people that his draft pick did well. What I was saying before about the Giants and in this situation, Giants don't allow themselves to get in this situation usually. You never see a player. Yeah, first of all, they haven't had a player like Odell Beckham, like a diva kind of showman kind of player, because they kind of keep everything buttoned up. So I think the Giants just don't like being in the news like this anyway. You know, that's like they pride themselves on winning the back page on just football and not the drama. So and in terms of football, it's just smart to hear the offers teams are going to give you, because there are a lot of teams that could give you a lot for, once again, a 3-win team that, let's be honest, is rebuilding. You know, an aging quarterback with declining skills in Eli Manning. I mean, if the Giants wanted to, they could get their future quarterback now, you know, and get a pass rusher or get an offensive lineman. They could really start it, you know, like. And it makes no sense, because if they don't trade Odell Beckham, that pretty much means they're going to lose him after this year if they don't want to pay him, or they're going to end up paying the ransom that he wants, and that hurts you in the long run if you're trying to rebuild.
So answer this question. Why should the Giants, based on the roster where they're at now, you mentioned this before, I think maybe two podcasts ago when we did what we did, and now that we are at this point 2 weeks later, why should the Giants trade Odell Beckham Jr., despite the fact he's a top 3-4 talent in the league, not just a receiver, but overall talent, any position, for that matter? Why should they still go through with this trade?
Because the truth of the matter is, Odell is young enough that if you do keep – let's say the Giants do keep him, right? Let's just say the Giants do keep him. Let's say the Giants give him $18 million a year for 4 or 5 years, whatever he wants guaranteed, right? He's going to end up – first of all, if you're trying to rebuild and you got that money tied to a wide receiver who is not going to be an easy wide receiver to work with a rookie quarterback, you know, with a new coaching staff. Like, that's what I'm saying. Right now, there's no emotional tie to Odell Beckham. The fans have the emotional tie to Odell Beckham. The coaching staff doesn't. The coaches that know he's a talent that which they could get rid of and get more pieces to build a team. That's a hard division right now to win. You know, like the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, people can say whatever they want. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, if Zeke Elliott wasn't suspended, they had a good chance of making the playoffs. Dallas, you know, because Zeke Elliott is an absolute beast. I honestly think Washington is right there neck and neck with the Giants roster wise. I think Alex Smith right now is a better quarterback than Eli Manning. You know. And I actually like Gruden's offense. I just think they just don't have the players, and they always get hurt. But regardless of the fact, you trade Odell Beckham to a team, like I said in my article, Cleveland. You could get a fourth round pick and probably get 2 second round picks, or two seconds and a fourth, or first this year, or first next year. Cleveland is looking to do whatever they can to keep their fans happy and actually put a good product on the field. Cleveland could get their quarterback, have two stud wide receivers, a good offensive line, Carlos Hyde, and running back, and they could actually compete. You know, so there are people there that they can trade with, even though I heard the Rams want to trade for him too, which, do the Rams, how much money do the Rams have? I asked you.
Well, that's funny, and I told you, what they're doing is looking at short term. Like, they signed Dalvin Cook to a short term deal, 1 year, $14 million. They're basically doing the Seattle thing, because right now they're not paying Jared Goff top dollar right now. They're paying on a rookie scale still. They're still playing Todd Gurley the rookie scale for another year, okay? They have to cash out. At some point, they have to pay these guys, but they're doing what they can right now for the short term to see what they can get right now, maximize the short term versus what's going to happen long term. We'll have to pay Aaron Donald and Goff and Todd Gurley and all those guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it makes sense what they're doing. It makes sense. Go all in now while you can. You know. because being a Super Bowl contender or even Super Bowl champion, you know, escalates the value of players anyway that you would not otherwise sign anyway. So that's my opinion on that. Now you keep mentioning all the time. You keep mentioning this quote that basically saying this NFL draft hinges on what the Giants do. As you know, the New York Giants have the number 2 pick in the draft. There has been speculation whether they would trade that pick back. And now you add this Odell situation. Now there's a lot of tentacles, a lot of things going on. Why do you think this draft hinges on the Giants and what they do going forward? Even though the Browns have 2 picks, you know, number 1 and 4 pick, why are the Giants the pulse of this draft right now, in your eyes?
Because the Giants can hold that pick. I mean, the number 2 pick is valuable because you figure Cleveland is going to take their quarterback, whoever it is. Whoever it is, Cleveland's going to take their quarterback. If it's Allen, Rosen, Darnold, whoever, you know? The number 2 pick, if you're a team that's desperate for a quarterback, like let's say Buffalo or Arizona, you know, you'll want to talk to the Giants, which means you're going to have to give up your pick this year and maybe a second round pick and maybe some more, you know, which means the Giants could really reload and this could screw a team like the Jets who have traded into the 3rd spot, you know, and if the Jets are left with, let's say it's Josh Allen and they're like, this is not the quarterback we wanted, then the Jets would be like, why did we trade anything? You know, if the Jets are doing their Rosen or Darnold and they're left with Allen, then the Jets may be like, we screwed up. Then the Jets may have to reevaluate that. I think the Giants hold the biggest key right now because if the Giants take, let's say they do the safe pick and take Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame, with the number 2 pick, it may make a team like the Bears or Indianapolis trade back, because that's a guy that's on their radar. You know, if they take that pass rusher Chubb, it may change the mindset of another team. The Giants just hold all the keys, I think, to this draft more than Cleveland. Because with Cleveland, you know they're going with number 1. And number 4, more than likely, I could see Cleveland trading it, to be quite honest, because there might be a quarterback there that Buffalo or somebody else will trade up for. It's just, I think it all goes on the Giants because they could take their quarterback for the future or trade it to somebody else so they could get their quarterback.
Which team, in your opinion, you think is most desperate to trade for Odell Beckham Jr., in your opinion?
I mean, the Rams make sense because they're just trying to go for the knockout punch right now, especially after getting embarrassed last year in the playoffs, just bowing out like they did. And honestly, the Browns are doing free agency like the Redskins used to for years.
And don't forget also the Jarvis Landry angle too with the best friends, you know.
Exactly. And I mentioned that too. I'm like, you know, the Browns have everything that Odell kind of needs right now, which the Browns can secure him that contract that he wants. He could play with his best friend, you know, and pretty much he could do no wrong in Cleveland. You know, like, this is a team that's had nobody. You know, that they've had a flash of Josh Gordon, you know, and they had Terrell Pryor for 1 year, you know. But it's like they never had a true top 5 receiver, you know, who people are mentioning with the greats already with Odell Beckham. So, like, I think Cleveland has the ammunition, too. That's not, Cleveland has 3 second-round picks
and a lot of cap room.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Cleveland, it might seem desperate, but Cleveland can do it. Cleveland can make it happen for the Giants and Odell. Like, Cleveland could actually do it where it doesn't look selfish. They're doing the Giants and Odell favors.
That's a good point. That's a really, really good point. Now, if you're a Giants, like right now, and look, you're on this podcast pretty much every week at this point. So I'm going to ask you this probably again before the draft happens. But right now, as we stand, March 28th at, we're recording about 3 o'clock in the afternoon right now. What should the Giants do at number 2 with that pick? What would you, if you're Dave Gettleman, what are you doing with that pick right now?
I'm keeping it for myself, and I'm taking a quarterback because I actually think I'm not in love with any of these quarterbacks this year. But I do think the ceiling is higher for these guys for the quarterbacks in this year's draft than it is in next year's draft, and I think the Giants have to really. Like, sit back and look like, yeah, Eli's been our guy, but I think any Giant fan can attest to the fact that Eli's been pretty terrible the last 2 to 3 years, and it's not like he's gonna restart his batteries and become 24 again, you know? Like, he's only getting older, he's only getting more shell-shocked as he gets older, and you're rebuilding. So you have a new coach, a new offensive system, draft your quarterback now. Even if he sits for a year behind Eli, which may be the best thing, because his team is not going to be revamped, their offensive line won't be revamped, you put this kid behind a veteran like Eli, who goes to the study room, who is the team leader in the huddle. And I think you do it, you know, especially if they can land someone like a Darnold, who seems a little bit more headstrong, you know, than Rosen. If they can land Darnold, then I think you got to take him. Even if you can land Rosen, because like I said, these ceilings are just so higher this year than the quarterbacks next year. You know, I mean, that's what I would do if I were the Giants.
Right. I saw a mock, and this is the last question here. I saw a mock this morning. I'm not sure if it was McShay's or Kuyper's, but another shakeup. I saw a mock that has Barkley going six now. Saquon Barkley going six. Now, if you're the Browns, like, if you're Browns, you're going quarterback, obviously, right? I mean, this is quite obvious. And if so, it is Sam Darnold, right?
I mean, like I said, I'm not in love with anyone. Sam Darnold, every time I watch Sam Darnold, it was funny. Every time I watched him, I'm hearing all this stuff. Oh, Sam Darnold, you listen to Colin Cowherd. He sounds like he's Sam Darnold's father, the way he loves this kid.
You know?
And then I watch it, and I'm like, this
is like his agent. It's like his agent.
It's just not impressive football when I watch it. He just turned over the ball. Like, I don't know, I just was never impressed really with Sam Darnold. And same thing with Josh Rosen. I mean, Josh Rosen, you could just tell, has, I think, the worst personal qualities of Aaron Rodgers and Jay Cutler rolled into one.
But can I argue, though, too? I think the last 15, 20 years have shown us this. Like, yeah, you might get an Andrew Luck that may, you know, obviously the obvious number one pick. Yeah. Or you know, you may get a Peyton Manning, you know, way back in 98. But can I argue that the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers, you know, the Drew Brees, the guys who weren't top-tier guys come out of college, you know, and now going to be first-ballot Hall of Famers. Can I argue that we put way too much stock in evaluating these quarterbacks, and sometimes you need to take a chance and let it play out as it may?
Yeah, I mean, if you end up with the first or second pick, you obviously have no team. So, like, you're hoping you land the franchise quarterback, and the media kind of feeds off those fan bases, you know, hoping that they get the new guy. Let me tell you, one that goes under the radar, and I hate the fact that it goes under the radar, was when the Falcons took Matt Ryan. You know, the Falcons were in a real bad place when they took Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan's been undeniably
the
leader
of that team. They had Joey Harrington as the face of their franchise for a year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get people never mention Matt Ryan, and I know he's not Tom Brady, I know he's not Aaron Rodgers, but the Falcons are sticking with Matt Ryan until Matt Ryan retires. Like, let's be straight up about this. Like, he's a good quarterback, smart guy, team leader, and this is a guy that you could say turned a franchise around. You know, in respect to what Atlanta is, he turned the franchise around.
Oh, no
it's
doubt.
Not like Atlanta is the Pittsburgh Steelers
or the New York Giants
or the Raiders. They're just the Atlanta Falcons. And he's there breaking every record. Like, I always get upset because nobody mentions how Matt Ryan was the projected number one quarterback in that draft. They can't miss, and he really didn't miss.
And not only that, I mean, I've been watching football for close to 30 years now. I don't remember the Falcons being relevant for this long.
Every year, the Falcons are mentioned in the playoff race. Every year, you know, and not for nothing, that's a tough division.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a tough division. I agree 100%.
Division. You never know what you're going to get with Carolina and the Saints, you know, so it's just a tough division to win, and they do it.
A lot of it's perspective, too. A lot of people, it's all about the win now moment. It's the short term. It's Matt Ryan's a quality quarterback. It's tough to quarterback league. I'd rather have that than have, you know, the problems that, I don't know, what team, the Browns have had for the last freaking 15 years, or, you know, come on now. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And I actually want to say, because we mentioned Saquon Barkley and we mentioned Colin Cowherd in like 5 minutes. I just wanted to say, Colin Cowherd totally ripped off what I've been saying on Twitter and whatnot. Is that, and you know me, I'm a Penn State homer. I love Penn State football. I love Saquon Barkley. He was one of the best players I've watched in Penn State football history. He is just a stronger version of Reggie Bush. And people have to watch that because he always ran the ball on a shotgun. He didn't run between the tackles. He works in open space. Great receiver and a great returner. He's Reggie Bush 2.0, except stronger and probably just a little bit more level-headed. You know, I would say a lot more level-headed than Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush thought he was a superstar by the time he was 21. You know, Saquon Barkley is a lot grounded and he'll work. You know, and I think veterans will appreciate him a lot more than they appreciated Reggie Bush when he first got thrown in the league. But Saquon Barkley, there's a lot of running backs in this draft. I think taking Saquon as a top 10 pick or a top 15 pick is kind of risky. You know, because the kind of production you'll get out of him is, well, Carolina got production out of Christian McCaffrey, which is not an every down back.
No, I agree with you. Even as a Giant fan, I initially was on the Barkley bandwagon, but I'm thinking, well, it's a little bit risky because he's still running back. He gets hurt. hurt him getting hurt versus their offensive lineman getting hurt is two different things.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I hope I'm wrong. I love Saquon Barkley. There's nothing to not like about Saquon Barkley, you know, as a kid, you know. But it's just buyer beware. You're going to get what you get with Saquon.
Exactly. Before I let you go, anything you want to plug?
Nope. I got nothing going on.
The article, obviously the article, you check it out on ngsports.com or gsteel.com. What was the name of it? Don't bend to Beckham.
Don't bend for Beckham. Some word.
It's very creative, actually, title. Actually, I liked it a lot. But yeah, check out
the. And hopefully it's the last Giants article I write for another few months because I just can't stand it.
No, shut up. You're enjoying this, man. Come on.
Let me say, I'm arguing on Twitter with a lot of Giants fans, you know, and just in the gyms I'm at or whatever. I'm arguing with Giants fans, and I keep telling them, I'm like, look, you're better off. You're like, you're better off you trade Odell Beckham. And they're like, you just don't want the Giants to have Odell because he's great. I'm like, listen, I was like, as a guy who hates the Giants, I hope you sign him to this long-term deal. I'm just saying the smarter move is to get rid of this guy for a ransom that you could create and rebuild yourself in 2 years. I was like, I don't want you to do that, but that's the smart thing to do, and I think the Giants will and should do that.
Fans are fans for a reason.
They're so ignorant. I can't deal with it.
They don't look at the bigger picture. They just look at,
every fan base. Let me just point that out. Every sport.
My brother is a dire Giants fan. He's like sitting and texting me like, if Odell gets traded, I'm not going to watch for a year. Like, dude, do you understand that right now, economically, as good as Odell is, how good is Odell? 3-3 We didn't win a single game with him last year, okay, with him in the lineup, okay? So stop, okay? Stop with the worst of the receivers, okay? He's not Tom Brady.
He's already had two semi-serious injuries already, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, he doesn't play a position that you necessarily have to have that guy to win Super Bowl. And in fact, no. You don't build from receivers, dude. Jerry Rice. No, that's different. Yeah, Joe Montana.
I actually think the Giants should focus on Evan Ingram being the number one guy on that team.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like people say the pivot's like, what about Jerry Rice? Yeah, but he had Joe Montana a great team.
He had a complete system that was ahead of its time as well.
And that's not knocking Jerry Rice, because Jerry Rice more than was better in that system. But
he had a complete system and a bunch of Hall of Famers. I mean, really.
And by the way, John Taylor, his second option, would have been Hall of Famer if he wasn't there. Trust me. He was that damn good.
Honestly, yeah, you're right.
Yep. So anyway, follow G on Twitter, of course, at G WSTWLIO. All his great work, of course, at ngtsports.com. He writes weekly. Of course, his website, gstilo.com as well. G, thank you as always, man.
Appreciate it, man. I loved hearing the kids in the background.
Yeah, man.